It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover, as you know, the latest in property news 7 days a week, as heard on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts and Amazon. Into the middle part of our week, it is a Wednesday, the 22nd day of May. And good morning to you, Mianna, in Sydney, listening to the podcast. Now, you emailed through today to tell us that you have got a friend who is on OnlyFans, which is not only just supplementing her income to buy a house, but it's her full-time job, you say. You say that your friend made over $150,000 last year. This, of course, is in response to our conversation yesterday with Veronica Morgan talking about people reportedly doing this to generate a side hustle. However, in this case, that is a serious amount of money helping your friend's viable entry into the property market. And I guess that leads us into what people, especially first-time buyers, are doing to make this additional money. So if you've got a friend or know of somebody who might be doing other interesting, let's say, outside of the box ways of generating money, then please let us know, like Mianna did, because it's all interesting stuff. Our email address is myrealestatepodcast@gmail.com. Now, this morning, we are off to wine country in South Australia to catch up with Carly Frost from Harcourts there. And a very good morning to you, Carly. Welcome to the Real Estate Breakfast.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So that's pretty interesting, isn't it? People sort of turning to all sorts of different ways to generate income. And it seems that OnlyFans has sort of caught people's interest.
Oh, it's a bizarre world we live in, but good on her, I guess. I have heard of this happening. There's a girl that takes the old picture of the feet. Apparently that's something that they do, bizarrely enough.
Yeah, it's a feet fetish. I don't really understand that fetish, but apparently, yeah, lots of guys like to see. I mean, that's an easy way of generating money, isn't it? Let's take a photo of our feet, put it up on the site, and people pay money for it.
Oh, it's an interesting thing that anyone would want to see a picture of a foot, but we're all different.
That is true. Yeah, people can be so creative and so determined, so probably single-minded when it comes to the property market. All sorts of ways of making that deposit up and getting into the property market. Now, let's talk about you because you're located in the southern end of Adelaide. Now, this is an area, if we go back 2 or 3 years ago, was very well undervalued, but people have since really latched on to the secret and you have been growing ever since. So just perhaps sort of geographically, just to paint the picture exactly where you are.
Yeah, so I live in Port Nalunga. I grew up here as a kid. You know, it's a beautiful spot. The beaches down here are just gorgeous. There's some surf. It's got a really cool vibe with cafes, and not far from here is the McLaren Vale wine region. So there's always something to do. It's one of those areas that's busy enough and there's always things to do, but it's not too busy. So it's a bit more of a relaxed lifestyle, say, than your Glenelg or your Henley Beach or your city, but it's still got enough to do.
Tell us a little bit about just how much that growth has really taken off, because Adelaide, it has been one of the stories, one of the talking points for the last 2 years, really, just in terms of people moving into the region.
Absolutely. So I started in real estate going back about 7 years ago. I really started when we'd have one or two people roll up to the opens. If you got 5 to 10, that was a really good open. And the average sale price for me back then was around $400,000. So that was going back pre-COVID. Come 2020, when COVID hit, surprising to all of us, 3 years on with the growth that we've got, it's sort of our average sale price. My average sale price down this way is around that $800,000. We really specialise in more of our lifestyle properties out on along the coastal belt down south. We can sometimes have, like on the weekend, we had 50 groups roll up to like a really entry-level price point, a unit that would have sold for under $200,000 going back 3 years ago, and it's well over the asking and heading up north of $450,000. So it's also surprising to know that only 3 months ago, we sold a unit around that $402,000 mark, which is really entry-level stuff, and it's grown significantly just in the last 3 months for that particular product. So that was a bit of a surprise to us over the weekend. People love to come down and look at what we've got to offer. Obviously, we've got some bigger blocks down here, you know, that you can sometimes pick up under a mill, a street or two back from the beach.
Gee, yeah, the market is just, I mean, when you explain it like that, it just really does put it into perspective. All right, we're talking to Carly there in South Australia. We'll come back. We'll talk more property after this.
Don't forget to subscribe. We have hundreds of episodes all designed to help you better understand the constantly evolving and dynamically changing real estate property market.
Well, here's a story. Two expat brothers residing in Barcelona in Spain had a distressing ordeal with violent squatters who took over their two properties that they own. They have faced intimidation, theft, and violence without effective intervention from Spanish police. In fact, their properties remain occupied by squatters who attacked them, resulting in a broken nose for one of the brothers. And their attempts to reclaim their property has led to their own arrest, with police allegedly showing bias towards the squatters. And under Spanish law, squatters who have occupied a home for more than 2 days and have no alternative housing cannot be evicted without a court order. And to make this worse, this legal process can take up to 18 long, excruciating months to complete.
Ready to step up your property knowledge? Access powerful insights with us.
And it is a Real Estate Wednesday. We are in South Australia talking to Carly Frost there. And Carly, you were just highlighting the fact of just how much your area has grown since post-COVID. And at the moment, you were telling me that you're into a little bit of renovations. I suspect there's probably a number of people doing that now, given the price, the way that the property has escalated in price. So what are you doing with your reno?
Yeah, so we bought another property and moved in going back about 4 weeks ago now. We swore we'd never do this again, but we are adding a big addition and a swimming pool. So we bought a property in our dream location. The house didn't really work for the family. We've hired an architect and a really great builder to help us through the process. And yeah, looking forward to seeing how it turns out. It's going to be about 6 months process. We've never hired an architect before, but I think it's the best thing we've done.
And we were talking about sustainability. Are you sort of giving that a bit of attention, the whole sustainable living?
Yeah, absolutely. The architect's all about that. And the builder that we're actually using is really focusing in on that also.
Now, just coming back to these larger blocks, like for those people that don't know the area, just how large are these blocks that you're talking about?
Yeah, so look, we've got blocks that we're selling at the moment, two of them that are over 900 square. We've had 1,200 square metre blocks. The average block across like Port Nalunga South, Seaford, Moana, where we tend to work, is around that 700 to 800. We do come across some of the bigger ones also. The block that I just bought was a little over 1,100 square. They are really popular because you can fit obviously big garages and, you know, a swimming pool and plenty of room for the kids. People do love that, a bit more so than probably the congested, you know, 400 squares where you're bumper to bumper.
Yeah. And if you've got a block that, let's say, 1,000 square meters, are you able to sort of carve that off?
depending which suburb you're in, and obviously the frontage of the block. You know, we always just liaise with council to see what we can actually do with each particular product before we launch it, and guide buyers on what they can and can't do to a certain extent.
And you were saying that you look at different ways to get people into, I guess, viewing. And what are you doing there in terms of showcasing properties?
Yeah, so we always make sure our properties look amazing from the start. We offer a Friday night twilight where we do, you know, the champagne and whatnot at twilight, especially for our Esplanade properties or our, you know, our nice coastal properties that are a bit more of a lifestyle property. It definitely helps. We always do a open on the weekend and then back it up with a Monday evening or a Tuesday evening. That just helps people come back for a second look. But just as long as the property looks, feels, you know, smells good, coastal properties are going really well.
All right. So if somebody is looking at perhaps moving into South Australia, into that wine country, they haven't quite got all of their money together. Perhaps they just need to take a few photos of their feet and they're there.
Well, that's a good option, I guess.
All right. Well, we'll leave you on that note. Enjoy your Wednesday, Carly. Thanks so much for coming on to the Real Estate Breakfast this morning.
Thank you. Pleasure. Thanks, Craig.
Don't navigate the real estate market alone. Let us help guide you in the world of real estate every day. Make better informed decisions with the latest news and insights.
It's kind of like the banks have got to meet the moment. We've talked about this on the podcast many times. We're in uncharted waters. Everybody else is expected to pivot here, so the banks need to do the same just to ease that financial burden.
Yeah, and look, it's interesting because when you think about first home buyers trying to get into the market, obviously rising interest rates has resulted in vastly decreasing or rapidly decreasing borrowing capacities as well. So, you know, it's hard enough trying to save up to get into the market, but then when you're in a situation where your borrowing capacity decreases as each interest rate rise comes along, then that means what you can buy becomes, you know, smaller or in different area or whatever. And so these are people that actually have got there, and the government is coming forward with, you know, it's been coming forward with first home buyer grants for over 20 years now, but there's also such things coming out as some shared equity schemes, for example, to help certain buyers to get into the property market. And perhaps it's time that we actually looked at some of those shared equity schemes, perhaps as a way to provide an option and a way out of this situation for these people that are under such pressure. So I'm just throwing it out there. It's time to do something a little bit rather than just let them suffer and wait for the next lot of first home buyers come through, is actually deal with the people that are in the system at the moment.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia, the Real Estate Podcast.